The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We are back in the car. It's like an old school Car Smart Lifer Update Edition. On my way to the DMV, we are going to become Florida residents, I think officially today. We're going to talk about our 29-year anniversary, getting glammed up for your driver's license photo. We're also going to talk about some Love is Blind situations and so much more. All right, who knows where this is going to go? I'm just happy that you're going with me. So put your seatbelt on. We are going for a ride. Also with us is Brett Johnson. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, you should start the thing off with a little humor and tell them about how you were starting to record this the other night on our way to dinner in an Uber. And like literally the Uber guy had like six cell phones on going all at once. And we kept on asking him, hey, could you turn those down or turn down the radio? Dude, turned them up.
Like he did have like six phones and they were like ding, 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 ding. It was like, what is going on with this guy? What was going on?
I don't know. I was looking. I couldn't figure it out. I think he had multiple phones that were getting like maybe Uber and then text and stuff. I don't know. And he didn't speak English because he didn't want to listen to anything we were saying.
I know. I feel like I really, really need to get serious about learning Spanish. And I've said that for years and I download the apps. And I never end up doing it for more than like a week. Is there an app, you guys? Let me know if there's like one that's so much better than the others, or is an app a dumb idea? Do I need to do like, I don't know, a video or hire a tutor?
Brock's learning Japanese on, just ask him what he's using and just get the Spanish version of however he's learning it.
Why is Brock learning Japanese?
Because he wants to go snowboarding in Japan.
That makes sense. Okay. So we, this week, are, like I said, getting our driver's license, and we've been told that this experience is going to be very different than what it was like in California. In California, the DMV experience is straight out of a Star Wars bar. It just boggles my mind every single time I step into the California DMV that it is so far. It's like you step back into 1970. Like, nothing makes sense. It's so confusing. The lines are horrendously long. It just is bizarre. I mean, are you with me?
It's really bizarre. I mean, in fact, I think half the employees are still, like, smoking cigarettes. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's like even, you know, not that I expect the state to spend money on redecorating the DMV, but you just really feel like you've walked straight back into the 70s. And please don't take offense if you work at the DMV and you're like the queen of customer service, because more often than not, I think what they do on their part of their application process, they're like, okay, do you hate people? Do you have zero patience? Do you prefer to avoid eye contact with all other humans? Great. Okay, perfect. Are you in a bad mood 98% of the time? Okay, you're hired.
Side note, funny story, because a lot of these people know, you know, Coach, Bob, my dad. Mm-hmm. And so we did not want to be the ones to tell my dad, like, hey, you can't drive anymore and take his driver's license away. They say to go to a doctor and let a doctor do it. So anyway, we knew we had to do this. And I remember, like, he needed to get a new driver's license, which required him to take the written exam.
That's right.
And he was well into Alzheimer's. Like,
I don't even think he could read at that point.
That's part of the story. Yeah, like, he could not read the words or anything like that. Okay. So my brother signs up to take him down there, and we're kind of
excited about it. We're like, okay, this is awesome, because he'll fail, and then we don't have to be the bad guys. Yeah. What a great plan.
So he was a driver's ed teacher for a million years, so he knows all the rules. But he can't read, and he doesn't remember. Like, there's just no way. So Rob takes him there, and Rob is texting Shalene and I on a group thread and just going, dude, he's taking forever. And this woman just came over at the DMV to help him read the questions. And I was like, oh, shit. Because if he's read the questions, he's going to know the answer because he literally taught this stuff. So I go, Rob, we're screwed. And Rob's like, no way he's passing this thing. No way. And Rob's like, my brother is just being really funny about it. And it turns out he got 100%.
Which is sad because that means the person at the DMV like really pretty much made sure that he passed it.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, at this point, you guys, once he passed the test, we still had to take him to the doctor's office and have the doctor tell him that, you know, he could no longer drive.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't planning on telling you this, but just in case someone is hearing this and you're dealing with this or in the future that you might need to, here's what we did. Because it is a really devastating blow to anyone, and even someone who has Alzheimer's, they just won't understand it. And it's, you know, a loss of so much of their identity and their freedom and their independence and all those things. And Bob was, you know, he always drove. When it was he and Debbie in the car, he always drove. And frankly, he drove longer than he should have. But anyways, so what we did is we talked to our doctor in advance, and this is what I recommend you do. Talk to your doctor in advance and get the story that you know is going to work for your loved one. Everybody is different, just like any neurodivergence. Everybody's brain is different. There is no one type of Alzheimer's. There's no one experience when it comes to ADHD or autism, any of those things. So anyways, you get the story straight with your doctor that you know will work for your loved one. In this particular case, we told the doctor to tell Bob, we have to suspend your license. I have to. And if I don't, Bob, I'm going to lose my license. But guess what? You can get your license back. All we have to do is retest your brain in like 3 or 4 months. And if, you know, you follow through on all of the recommendations that Shalene and Brett are helping you with, and, you know, you make sure that you eat these foods and you do your exercises, you're going to be back, dude. You're going to be back. And so he was like, all right. And we knew that would work with Bob because he's coachable. And
he doesn't want anybody else to suffer or do any consequences because of him. That's the last thing my dad would ever do in the history of his life, is like that he is going to inconvenience somebody and make them suffer or make them lose something because he's not doing the right thing.
Yeah. And the thing is with a family member who has Alzheimer's, you have to find and get good at telling the lie, the fib, the story that you know is going to make them calm. So maybe for you, it's, you could tell your loved one, our insurance has expired and it only covers one of us and I need the car for whatever reason. Or, I mean, you know the story and you've got to think about like, okay, what is something that would, this person would accept their fate? What they probably aren't going to want to accept is, hey, you can't drive because your brain isn't right or because you have Alzheimer's. Maybe they will, but in our case, Bob never, ever, ever wanted to hear that word, even when he was pretty far gone in Alzheimer's. I think the reason why it was stored in his brain is because his own father had Alzheimer's. And anyways, I digress. But it is a pretty gnarly situation. And for any of you who are in it, we haven't talked a lot about it recently, but whenever I do it, I explain to you the reason why we haven't talked about it is because it's not a happy, it's just a story that gets worse and worse and worse, you know? And so, yeah, we're going to keep things upbeat and happy.
Yeah.
Okay. So by the way, Friday's episode of the Shalene Show, I think you're going to really enjoy. I have been asked to do this kind of episode forever, which is what do you eat episode. And I've been kind of putting it off because I think those kinds of videos can be very triggering and confusing because you don't have the same caloric requirements as me. You don't necessarily have the same dietary needs as me, like all the things. And I've seen so many of those where I think they trigger people because whatever, for whatever reason. So what I decided to do was what I eat in a week. So I just share like all of my favorite lunches, all of my favorite breakfasts, my snacks, my dinners, what we eat when we go out to dinner, because we go out to dinner a lot. Anyways, one of the things that I mentioned in Friday's episode, oh, and by the way, I also did it on YouTube. So when that comes out on Friday, you can check it out because it will, you know, if you go to the YouTube, you'll see the recipes, if I can call them recipes. You'll see the things I put in mix into a bowl and call a meal. So most mornings, what I start my day with, what I break my fast with, if you will, is my powdered supplements in a water bottle. So I like to mix a variety of my supplements, some of which are citrus fruit flavored, and then some that have no flavor. And so here's what I do. I mix my Organifi Immunity, which kind of has an orange flavor, with my Organifi Pure, which has a lemon flavor, right? So now we got the tangy citrus. And then I mix it with the Organifi Collagen. And the collagen is flavorless, okay? Which is wonderful. And it mixes really well. Some collagens, like, I don't know, they're clumpy. Organifi is not. Plus, it's 100% organic. It's a company that we love, we stand behind. It's just super easy to put it all into a water bottle. I mix a few of my other supplements in there too, and it's just great. Then I get it done. I'm starting my day off with protein, collagen protein, and all of my supplements. Their collagen peptides are next level. So if you're thinking about a collagen, I highly recommend the Organifi Collagen, and you get 20% off, which is great. So go to Organifi, Organifi.com/Shalene. Use code Shalene for 20% off. Again, I'm going to spell it because it's different. Organifi.com/Shalene for 20% off. We're going to talk about our 29th wedding anniversary, yeah, which is just, well, it's this week. And we are going to St. Bart's, which is in the Caribbean, a planned trip that Brett has taken care of every single detail. I'm so thankful and so grateful. All I had to do was to order new bathing suits and a couple of date night dresses, and has plans, the perfect amount of plans and the perfect amount of freedom and nothing to do except maybe lay out by the pool and get a good workout in, do some walking.
Take some hikes and walks around, you know, new scenery. We love doing that.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite things to do. I'm excited because, you know, we just haven't done a kind of warm weather vacation. When was the last one we did? I sound very
went to Cabo.
Spoiled right now. When was that?
Like the end of, middle of October.
Yeah, so it's been a minute. We haven't done anything. You're right. That's kind of crazy to think of.
Well, we're kind of living in a warm, tropical place.
But we haven't even laid out in our backyard in Florida yet.
No, we've sat out on the deck at like sunset, and that's about it.
And it's beautiful. It's just this really nice time of year here where it hasn't been sweltering. I haven't noticed the humidity at all. I think it's been great. So we are absolutely 1000% still loving it. And I know I said this in a previous episode, but I'm just going to say it again because maybe you haven't listened in a while. But yes, we have moved to Florida and we are becoming residents, and we have kept our house in California. I have to tell you, I didn't even tell you this, Brett. My dad was like, hey, did you guys sell your house in California? I said, no. By the way, if anyone is eligible and wants to live there, we're doing a long-term lease. So you can look that up, but I don't know how they would look that up.
You can put it in the show notes, Jason's contact.
Okay, yeah.
That's how they get a hold of
it. But we're not doing like a 1 month at a time. We're not doing, you know, a couple weeks at a time.
I wouldn't even do a 1 month.
Yeah, we want someone who's in there for at least probably
three
would be the minimum. So I don't know if that applies to anybody, but we'll put the contact in our show notes. Anyways, my dad calls me. He's like, so you guys sold your place? I said, no. He goes, I didn't think so. I'm like, well, then why do you ask? He goes, well, because we have friends. Lots of people here in the villages listen to the podcast. I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. And he goes, yeah, and they like to tell us our business. And somebody said they're trying to tell us that our daughter sold her house. And we're like, we think we know. Is that hysterical?
Pretty funny.
It's the village gossip. I am so glammed up right now to go get my driver's license photo. Like, I woke up early and did my makeup. We're going to the gym afterwards.
Pretty close to, like, date night right now.
I know. I literally woke up
What's
very
that thing
early.
On your neck called a dickie or something like that?
No, it's a faux collar.
Oh, but there is a thing called that, right?
Yeah, a dickie is a faux. Well, I guess it's a faux collar too. Yeah, you're right. But it's a shirt collar. This is, I'm going to explain it. This is a collar necklace.
Okay, just give the boy a little credit for remembering that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So this is a little tip I put in the newsletter. I don't know if you guys get my newsletter on Fridays, but the newsletter, I always share with you like my favorite cool little find. And then I share like what I'm listening to or what I'm watching on Netflix and then something that I'm obsessing about. So anyways, this last Friday, I put in there this little hack that I have, which I'm doing right now. So we're going to the DMV and I am dressed to go to the gym. So I have on like my, you know, like a what do you call it? Like a t-shirt or a tank, but it's kind of a high neck tank, but it's a workout tank. And so then I have bought a couple of these and they're really pretty and they're pretty inexpensive. Like a leather, it's a necklace, but it's a collar. It looks like a leather collar with big black pearls on it. Are you picturing this right now? And you know what I'll do? I'll post it up on my stories on Wednesday so you can see it in my Instagram stories, okay? So check out my Instagram stories. Because I get it on Etsy and this collar makes it look like I have a very expensive, nice, sleeveless blouse on with a leather collar. Like I look fancy. And I'm wearing this to the DMV because then I can just take this necklace off and we can go to the gym and we're like ready to go. But I have a couple of them. I've got like one that's pearled and I have one that's like lace. And they really elevate. Like if you just have a plain sweater or a plain crew neck shirt, they really elevate it. I mean, they really are nice. And so a lot of times I am wearing, like I said, something that's more appropriate for working out, but I have a Zoom or I've got an interview or whatever. And so I just throw on one of these collars and bam, ready to go. She's all business on the top and all workout on the bottom. And I get them on Etsy. So just type in, I don't have like one particular person I get them from. I just search around and find them. But if you type in faux collar maybe, or if you type in collar necklace, you're going to get some like big giant just necklaces that go all the way up your neck. So you got to kind of search. I think it's faux collar is what I would type in perhaps. But I also have the kinds that are like actually just a shirt because it's really bulky and uncomfortable to put like a nice white blouse under a sweater. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but like I don't need any more bulk than I already have. You know what I'm saying? So I have a couple of those. I have it in black and white. It's just the upper part of the shirt. That is called a dickie. I don't know if guys wear dickies.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Yeah, why would they?
Yeah, why would we?
It's weird. I'm not sure. Who invented them?
I don't think I need to wear a tank top and then put a dickie around my neck.
And I don't think you do either. We watched Love is Blind this week, and I don't know if any of you are watching it, but it does matter if you have or haven't, because the commentary, what I wanted to mention about it is kind of universal, and that is insecurity.
I thought you were going to say that you were 0 for 3 in the predictions, and I was 3 and 0 in the predictions.
I know. Why am I so bad at that?
I don't know.
I don't know why. You're so good at that. You call it every time.
I'm good at people.
I'm going to give you that. Dang. Got those spidey skills. Yeah, you really do. But so what I was going to say is one of the couples, the girl, Chelsea, the girl. And I don't know if it was it couldn't have been an edit. It's not an edit because just a more confident woman would just never have these conversations. But I thought to myself, this one's never going to work. I was right about that one. This one is never going to work. He needs to run for the hills as fast as he can because this girl, this woman, was so insecure with him. And it was every single, like he would say, I love you. And she's like, but do you really? He's like, yeah, I love you. And she's like, but I don't like the way you said it. And he's like, okay, how do you want me to say it? And she's like, I just felt like you didn't mean it. I don't believe you. And he's like, well, I do. I love you. And I'm here because of you. And she's like, are you sure? Like, it was just endless. I was exhausted for him. And someone had sent me a DM. They were like, you know, what do you think is the most attractive quality in like people in general? Like not even just, you know, romantically, but just in people. I think one of the most attractive qualities in all humans is confidence. And cockiness is not necessarily confidence. I'm talking about the kind of confidence where you can be chill. The kind of confidence where other people aren't responsible for how you feel. Like it's even really unattractive. Like if you have a friend who you have to constantly worry, like if you've hurt their feelings or if, you know, what if I didn't text them back quick enough and they're going to be upset. Like, they're going to misinterpret things. They're going to make this about themselves. Like, that, it's really unattractive. It's really, what do you call it?
Needy.
Yeah. Will you turn your blinker off?
Sorry.
There you go. Now you're like that Uber driver.
Because I'm abiding by the laws, going to the DMV and have my blinker on for a left-hand turn.
I just don't want it to be distracting.
I understand that, but I'm still...
Going to abide by the law.
I'm a Florida law-abiding citizen.
Mm.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully we got all the paperwork right.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, back to like the confidence thing. I think some people seem confident, but if you're really paying attention... some of their actions, behaviors, or just the way that they hold themselves and carry themselves, the way they respond to things, it tells you if someone is truly confident. And I guess we all have situations where we're less confident. I know I consider myself a confident person, but there's definitely situations where I am less confident. One of those is when I'm showing up someplace and like to a place where like maybe, oh, I know, like last week when I was going to the party and the, you know, the hat party, that makes me nervous. I wouldn't say, and I guess if you're nervous, it means it's affecting your confidence, right? But like also going to like a speaking event, if I don't know who I'm speaking to, like if I can't picture the crowd, picture the room, picture the stage, know who it is that, like if I don't know all the details, I get anxious. I don't know who invented shapewear, but they should have got a Nobel Prize. Like, shapewear can change the game. If you know, you know. But not all shapewear is the same. In fact, when we were moving, I had this big, giant drawer just filled with very expensive shapewear pieces that never freaking worked. They either, like, rolled down, or they felt like they were suffocating me, or they pushed all of my parts into the wrong places. That's why I want to tell you guys about Honey Love. Honey Love has revolutionized compression. I'm not joking. This is the kind of shapewear that does not roll down. It does not cut grooves into your skin, and it just smooths you out where you need to be smoothed out. I know I've talked about their bras in the past, but like, I think we're heading into that season where people are wearing cute dresses to weddings and events and graduations and all those things. And so if you're looking for shapewear, please, I'm telling you, check out Honey Love. And while you're there, you should probably pick up one of their bras too, because I am in love with this bra, in love with it. Treat yourself to the best bra, the best shapewear on the market. Plus, as a listener of The Chalene Show, you get 20% off your entire order. Whatever you order, 20% off. So you go to honeylove.com/Chalene. Don't forget, honeylove.com/Chalene. They're going to ask you where you heard about it. And you're going to say, The Chalene Show, because that's how you show your support for the show. I really do appreciate it when you tell our sponsors that we sent you. Ladies, it is time to ditch the underwire in your bra for good. Thanks to Honey Love. When do you feel less confident? Or least confident?
I'm literally this almost the same exact thing. I don't like situations where I don't feel like I have some form of control, or like I know situations. Like even going to this today, it's the first time we've ever gone to a DMV, so all I have to go by is California. So I'm already like anticipating the worst. I'm already anticipating that like the part of our paperwork isn't complete and it's not right, and it's just like, but hopefully I have enough backup stuff that it'll work. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, like, so going to things like this, it doesn't make me nervous. It's just like kind of like okay, you know, I don't know,
a little anxiety.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of going to like social events, that even though I'm an extrovert, that I don't like know like what's gonna happen.
So you went to a Super Bowl party recently where in advance, you probably only knew that you were going to know like two or three people?
A couple people, and there was probably 20 people there.
So did you feel a little less confident walking in?
No, because I knew the people that were hosting the party.
So give me an example the last time you walked into something or in a scenario where you're like, oh, I don't feel totally confident.
Huh.
I'll let you think of it. I did a podcast interview this week. Was it this week? Let's see. I did it on Friday. Great gal. I was excited to do her podcast. I think she's got a good podcast. I've listened to a few of her episodes, and so I won't name a name because it's really not about that, but we had this conversation. Well, what happens is when I'm going to do a podcast interview, they usually send over a list of questions, kind of a direction they want to head in because, you know, your girl's been around the block. We can talk fitness. We can talk marriage. We can talk Instagram. We can talk digital businesses. We can talk, you know, teams and strategy. There's a million things we can talk about. So I always want to know, like, okay, what direction do they want to head in? And her questions in advance were all about how to kind of balance life and get it right with when you've got little kids and you're married and you want, you know, this purpose for your life to build a business, etc. And you know, like, how do you do that? Like, what were your best tips? Like, what suggestions do you have for me, basically, because she has two kids as well. And I knew that before because I'd listened to her podcast. I knew she had two kids. I knew she was married. I knew she was married to a, well, I can't explain too much or I'll give away the details. But anyways, so I'm thinking about that. And at the same time, I'm doing this whole, you know, deep dive on the Hollises. And so I've been kind of emotional and just kind of like thinking about how challenging it is to get caught up in work and to get caught up in purpose and to get caught up in opportunities and how, you know, none of it matters. Like, you have to know what matters most. And so I'm thinking about how I want to answer this, and I'm probably more impassioned about it than normal because of what I'm doing for Patreon, right? So anyways, she starts asking me these questions, and I'm explaining my thought process. I'm explaining how I think you need to look at that stage of your life, and I'm being very honest in my opinion. And she tells me that she's just filed for divorce and that she just knows that what it is she wants to do with her life isn't in alignment with what her husband wants for their family, that she wants to, you know, do more and work more. And obviously her kids are her, she says, her number one priority, but like also this calling is so important to her and they just can't see eye to eye on that. And he doesn't want her to work as much and he wants them to, you know, focus on family. And she's just like, I can't. And he doesn't have the same, she says, growth mindset as him, that he's just content to be where he is and with what they have. And that just feels stifling to her, and she's growing and he's not growing. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, I shared with her, I just can't help it. Sometimes I shared with her my bossy older sister opinion of what I thought, how she needed to think about these things. And I wasn't suggesting in any way, shape or form that she needs to stay married, because that's an individual's personal decision, and there's no way I have all the information. Even if she's telling me why it is they don't see eye to eye or why it is she wants this divorce, I'm sure that there are lots of other reasons, because we're doing a podcast, you know what I'm saying? So there's always things that for whatever reason you just aren't going to talk about to the public. And so I wanted to make it really clear to her. I'm like, listen, you know, because I had said some very strong things and I felt like, oh my God, what I just said is going to make her feel like I'm judging her decision, and I'm not. I just want her to have all the information, and I want her from my perspective and to know that all these great opportunities are going to come to you later too. But that's not to say you're supposed to stay with this person, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't necessarily about staying with him. It was more about, like, your kids are so little right now, just be careful that you don't miss this opportunity, because you won't get it again. And you will get lots of opportunities to help the world with your purpose. You know what I mean? Anyways, I just felt really, after I did the interview, like even right now, I'm like, ugh, why do I feel guilty? Why do I feel, because I think it was important what I said to her. And who knows? Maybe I made her think twice about it. I don't know. But any thoughts on that, honey?
Just as you get a little older, mm-hmm, and a little wiser, and you've already experienced things, and you see how children turn out differently based on what you do, mm-hmm, when you're younger, mm-hmm, you have an opinion,
yeah,
and that opinion needs to be shared. And so that's our truth. And, you know, and we said openly, like, how we decided to raise our family, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't change it one bit.
Why do you think I feel guilty? I mean, I feel bad, like I maybe hurt her feelings.
I would say because you don't know her that well.
No, not at all.
You don't know the circumstances.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, people aren't going to ever tell you the whole story, especially yeah. somebody that just met. So there's a little anxiety that will spark because you're going to, like, I just gave her my truth opinion that I would give my best girlfriend if she was doing this.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it to a kind of a stranger.
Yeah.
And so
I also, that's true. That's a really good point. That helps. I think it's also like I went into the interview with this mindset that I was like going to, you know, really stand on my soapbox about this, not realizing, you know, to one of her listeners, not realizing that I was on my soapbox to her and she was the host. So then I felt like, oh my gosh, did I put her in a really awkward position on her own show?
I think she probably wanted to hear that from you, would
maybe
be my guess.
Wow.
Is that she knows your opinion. She's done her research. She knows your, you know, she's heard you probably say, you know, I did have a flood of opportunities coming in when my children were young and mm-hmm. decided not to, you know, set priorities and set boundaries. And mm-hmm. so she probably wanted to hear that because there's probably a part of her that really wants to do all the things. Mm-hmm. And there's also a part of her that wants to be a mom too.
Yeah.
And that's a position that people got to make a decision.
I think it's harder for women. It just is.
It is harder because there's a social aspect to it.
Yeah.
That, you know, whether it's right or it's wrong, it's like, there's the word. They don't call it, it's motherly. Mm. They don't call it daddily. It's like
mothering.
Like, are you a mother?
Yeah, mothering.
Mothering.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's what would that be? Is that an adjective?
I guess so. All right, we're going to go to the DMV or whatever they call it here in Florida, and we'll be right back. So when it comes to your wardrobe, when it comes to my wardrobe, I love to pair things that look nice, but they were very inexpensive, and they're not going to last forever. I'm not saying that's your best investment. Your best investment are your classic pieces, the pieces that elevate your style, that don't go out of style, that are not trendy. And for those of you who've asked, like, what brands, one of the best brands to find pieces like that is Jenny Kane. And they also happen to be a sponsor of the Chalene Show. Now, I bought a cashmere. It's like a thin hoodie, but it's made out of cashmere. And it is so elevated. It is so timeless. It is so beautiful. I get compliments on it every single time I wear it, which I usually wear it when we travel. Because I don't want to look like a slob when I'm traveling. I want to look elevated, but I also want to be super duper comfortable. So Jenny Kane has your luxury pieces, your classic pieces. They're elegant. They're timeless. They also have things for your home interiors. And as a listener of the Chalene Show, you get 15% off all Jenny Kane items. Jenny Kane is spelled J-E-N-N-I. Kane is KAYNE.com/Chalene. When you use promo code Chalene15, you get 15% off. It's also how you can support the show, which we really love. But listen, this is a California company. It's a U.S. company. Think minimalist, think effortless, think timeless, think luxurious. And that's Jenny Kane. JennyKane.com/Chalene when you use promo code Chalene15 for your 15% off. Okay, that took 1 hour. It was a little disorganized in the beginning. You know, like we walk up and there's just like massive amounts of people outside the building. We're like, oh boy, here we go. And there's all these signs. We are intelligent people. And we're reading all the signs and like none of these signs make sense. Like the signs are about social distancing and like nothing telling us where to go.
With an appointment.
Yeah, we have an appointment and there's no signs. So finally we find someone and he says, yeah, just stay standing out here and we'll call your name. And we're like, this seems weird.
And we've already been standing there for 10 minutes and I haven't heard any names called.
That's why I thought it was weird too. And then all of a sudden they're like, anyone who has a 10 a.m. appointment. And, you know, a bunch of people raise their hands and they're like, okay, go inside. Once we got inside, it was
seamless.
And the gal behind me, I heard her complimenting the agent at her window. And she was like, I just have to tell you, I normally go to another location. And this is just dreamy. You guys are so organized and so nice and everyone's so friendly, and they really were.
You got a really nice one. You got, your gal was really nice. Mine was just okay. She was like, she was talking down. She was a soft talker, and it's through a glass window, and I have people on both sides of me talking, and she's talking straight down into the paper, asking me questions.
Yeah, she wasn't that nice. She's the one that sent me away.
Yeah, and I was like, she's talking down, and then she says to me, she goes, "You ever had a driver's license in Georgia?" And I'm like, "No, I never lived in Georgia." And then I remembered, I was like, "I played football in Atlanta for 3 months, but I didn't sign any paper. Like, I didn't change my driver's license." Uh-huh. And so that's the only thing that came up to me. I was like,
"You in Georgia for 3 months?"
Yeah.
I never came to see you.
Well, I came back once.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't really a come see Brett type of thing. I was like living in like a hotel working out every day.
So what was the Georgia thing?
Nothing. I didn't want to pursue it. And then she messed up and put my birthday as a 16 rather than a 6. Mm. So we had to fix that.
Oh.
But everything was really quite easy. I mean, I had all the stuff. But see, my plan was just to like take care of it for Shalane, and just like I knew they were going to ask for paperwork, I could just hand it to Shalane.
That was smart that you had two copies of everything.
Yeah, and I said, okay. She's like, we can't do it this way. You have to go to your own line. So I'm handing Shalane all the things. And the good thing was I started my process 5 minutes before, 3 minutes before Shalane. So I already knew what the girl was going to ask for. So I was kind of like
handing it off to me. What was crazy, though, is you leave. Two things. Number one, they don't ask for your weight. That's kind of fun. And they also, you leave with your driver's license. And I am quite happy with my photo. I think it really made a big difference that I woke up and spent so much time on my glam. And I had my little collar on. It was also nice because I got recognized, which is fun, at the DMV.
Which one? The girl taking your payment?
No, someone who was standing in line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're super sweet, though.
No, the girl taking my payment said, "Oh, you just look just like Farrah Fawcett." I'm like, okay, rest in peace, Farrah Fawcett. And that's really kind. And I hope she means a young Farrah Fawcett. But I'm like, how come no one ever says, "You look like, you know, someone who's young and cute." Like, I always get someone who's like 15 years older than me. I don't know how I feel about that. All I know is I'm never going to say who I think I look like ever, 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 because of the situation that happened with a woman on Love is Blind. Okay, so this gal on Love is Blind, through the walls, the guy said, "Is there any celebrity people think you look like?" And she's like, "Well, I don't see it. I personally don't see it at all."
But there is one.
He's like, "Who?" And she's like, "Well, I mean," she goes, "again, I don't." She was very clear about this. She's like, "I don't see it, but some people say Megan Fox."
No, she didn't say Megan Fox. She said MJK.
I mean, it gets around to Megan Fox.
Yeah, she Indo.
And he's like, you know, instant excitement. Instant, like, okay, this is my new wife. Because he's not saying kind of looks like Megan Fox. He's saying, "Oh, Megan Fox is on the other side of the wall."
Well, even if there are people have said that's who you look like, you immediately go, well, even if she just looks 80% of Megan Fox would be amazing.
So then the internet completely turns on her, and it's horrible, and they start making fun of her because of her looks. But I'm here to say, I can see it. Like, I don't think she looks like exactly like Megan Fox, but Megan Fox has a very, very short upper lip like this.
Yeah.
I'm showing Brett like how to make your short upper lip. And so her lips like kind of flip up, and she has very, very blue eyes, piercingly blue eyes and dark hair. And this girl has not exact, but she has lips like that, piercingly blue eyes and dark hair. So, I mean, cousins for sure. Okay. I just had to delete the last minute because Brett Johnson said something that made me so mad. And it's the whole, this is my issue with all this poor girl, is everyone then like picked apart her looks and made such a big deal about it. It was like, it's just one stupid, dumb, flippant comment. And like, who cares? Like, but everybody then came for her appearance, and it just sucks. I mean, I feel bad for her. I mean, I guess if you're going on reality TV, you have to know that's a thing, but it's a bummer, you know, because that shit's going to stay with her, and it's probably going to cause body dysmorphia. It's probably going to cause, like, you know what I mean? Like, just, the internet is so cruel sometimes.
TikTok is crushing her.
And that's kind of where I'm going right now with this whole, like, you know, deep dive thing, is that there are people who step into, and then they don't even step into it. They just end up in situation where they become an influencer, or they become well-known on social, or they go viral, or they're on a reality TV show or whatever, and they're not prepared mentally. They're not strong enough to put up boundaries and not listen, not look for, not hear, and not absorb the negative comments. Because the more positive comments you get, the more negative comments you're going to get, you know, just proportionally.
I was dealing with Sierra yesterday. She got boosted on her TikTok promo for Urban Outfitters.
Oh.
And, like, literally, it attracted, like, she said, just, like, all these trolls. And, like, yeah, she got some great comments, but, like...
Did it bother?
I think it was bothering a little bit, and so I had to, like, kind of diffuse it a little bit.
Yeah.
For her, but it pissed me off because it made her upset, so I was going to, like... I don't care if you're 12 years old and you live in Ohio and you're making, like, making rude comments about my daughter. I'm going to come for you and make you cry. It was unnecessary. Like, you know, it's not her normal followers. It's a thing that goes viral. She's got 2 million views or likes on the thing. And you're going to get people that are, you know, judging what her appearance is, even though she's like, you know, the other half are like, oh my gosh, where do you model? You're drop dead gorgeous. Cause you don't read those. You read the ones that are like, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah. It's funny. I can see it proportionally on my content. So, you know, the more reach it gets, anything, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, the more reach it gets, the more I get bashed, the more I, you know, people take things out of context, the more I get hater comments, etc.
They're always private. Or they have no posts. They've got an account just to do that because it's what makes them feel good about themselves, because they really deep down don't really like themselves.
So
they go do that to other people.
Yeah, and it's sad because some people just are not equipped to do that. And I do think that there, or to handle, I should say. And I do think that there are a lot of people that's their go-to. You know, is to start fights, to argue, to judge. Put people down, to judge, to, you know, whatever. It's just kind of sad. But, I mean, I guess if you're going on reality TV, you have to be ready for that.
So the Hollis thing, right, that you're talking about. Uh-huh. So I've made some comments of people that are, like, on Patreon that, you know, I was the first one to say that what an amazing job you're doing. And, like, episode 6 was, like, it was insane. It was so good that, you know, my stick has been, like, that you should get an Emmy for this. So one of the people in the vault was like, you know, you made fun of some people that were like, oh, she should get an Academy Award. And I was like, you don't get an Academy Award for a podcast. You got to be in a movie. And they're like, I'm pretty sure you can't get one for an Emmy for this. I'm like, yes, you can. And guess what? Yes, you can. It's audio documentary. There's an actual category for it.
Wow. So, look at that.
So I know my
I guess you do, Brett Johnson. That's pretty funny. All right. Well, thank you so much for spending some time in the car with us. I really do hope that I got to keep you company. You know that I love the roll call and knowing what were you doing when you were listening. That's always fun for me to read. And I've got your next installment. For those of you on Patreon, your next installment comes out on Saturday. And the stuff, I'll tell you. What?
Episode 7 is going to come out on Saturday?
Yeah. Why is that a surprise?
Because we're going to be...
I know. That's why I told you I need to get it done.
Oh, so you're going to get it done and then have some edits and stuff like that so it's ready in the can for Saturday?
Hopefully.
Kind of thing?
That's the goal.
Because you're not going to have any time on Friday to like...
I know. Wish me luck. All right, you guys. Fingers crossed. Love you. Talk to you soon.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.